My name is Mitch Dane Goski. And I've been an elder here for about 20 years. And it's my privilege to share with you this morning. I'm preaching this morning, which is funny because I'm not a preacher. I guess we could be glad this is not an airplane. This summer we've been doing this series in Psalms and doing this thing we call Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina is a Latin phrase that means divine reading. And what we do is actually meditate and ponder Scripture and see how the Lord could be speaking to us through Scripture. So we're going to take another 60 seconds of silence. And the prompt for this one is, what do you feel when you read this? What in your life connects with this Scripture? So take a few minutes, or 1 minute, actually. All right, it really is a privilege to be here. I actually get to meet a lot of people being an elder, and it's really funny that one of the first things that comes out of people's mouths, or I'm sorry about your cold, or have you been smoking like since stage two? Or, well, the reason I talk like this is because when I was 14 years old, I was involved in a motorcycle accident. And I was riding my bike along this trail and I didn't see a wire across the trail. And the wire actually struck my neck. And without breaking the skin, it severed my trachea and esophagus. I'm sure that's happened to most of you. Relate with me. No, I would not recommend that. 1 star. My friends who were with me could see that I was struggling, but they couldn't see any physical signs of injury. They tried to lift me up. At that point, the weight of my lungs and my stomach just pulled everything down because there was nothing attached. And at that point, they started seeing signs that something very serious was wrong. So this was before cell phones. So they had to run to the nearest gas station while I was suffocating. And they called my dad and an ambulance. And my dad got there first. He lives about a half a mile away. I live there too. It's my dad. And when he got there, he couldn't find any pulse. I was dead. And he started doing CPR, like any loving father would do. But with the severed trachea, very little to no air was getting in my lungs. I suspect even if he knew that, it probably wouldn't matter. He would probably keep going. The ambulance got there soon after that. They couldn't find a pulse. They started doing these procedures where they would... Actually, I'm not sure what they did. I was dead at the time, so I don't really remember that part. But they rushed me to the hospital and started doing surgery. And, oh, I forgot to say, they did bring me back to life. I know you're curious about that. Basically, for the next 7 years, I would go through 33 surgeries to try to repair what I'd done. And for 2 years after the accident, I couldn't speak at all. I couldn't even whisper. And for 5 years after the accident, I had this tube in my throat that I had to breathe through. It's called a tracheostomy tube. And I got to tell you, being in high school and having a hole in your neck is just not the cool thing to have. All my friends were worried about their hair and their zits. I got a dang hole in my neck. But I found a coping mechanism through entertainment. And I love making people laugh. And I'd find these tricks to do. So here's a couple of them. I would picture me laying down horizontally. I guess that's the only way you can lay down, isn't it? I'd be laying down. I could take a ping pong ball and place it over the hole and just hover it in the air. I call that the hovering ping pong ball trick. I could also sit in the back of the classroom, and I'd sit in the back because, you know, I was a quiet kid. And I would have a perfect view of the back of everyone's head, and I could take these paper wads, and I could drop them down that thing. And I mean, it was like military weapon accuracy. My favorite would be, I could be at a high school dance, and I could be dancing with a girl, and I could actually blow in her neck and her ear at the same time. Yeah. All my friends were like, dude, I want one of those tubes. Those are cool. Well, it was painful, and I couldn't do the things my friends were doing, like running or swimming, or even like taking a shower. If you looked up, you could drown in the shower, and that's just not a cool way to die. And I really wanted this tube out. And the doctors told me that the only way to get this tube out would be to do an operation where they would laser out one of my vocal cords. I had a very little voice at the time, so I had to weigh out this decision. As you know, normal vocal cords work together. And when you speak, they vibrate against each other. And when you breathe, they'll open up really wide, so air can go through. Now, if they were to laser one of them out, we'll say that one. Yeah. It's probably the best choice, don't you think? It would allow enough airway for me to breathe without the tube, but it would take away my voice. And I thought about it. I prayed about it. I thought about Psalm 23. And I decided to go ahead with this surgery. And I remember waking up from surgery and the tube was gone. I could breathe, but so was my voice. And I was prepared to deal with that. I made that decision. Several months go by, many months, and I started getting these weird vibrations in my throat. And I'll go to my doctor and he would take these scopes and look down my throat and he'd say, Mitch, I'm not sure what to tell you, but it's physically impossible for you to make these noises. And a couple more months went by, and this thing started getting stronger. I started having pitch control. My doctor literally said in a newspaper article that it was a miracle that I could speak, let alone sing. I'm not sure what you believe about all this, but I believe God somehow miraculously healed me. My doctor believes it's a miracle. And for doctors to believe in miracles, that's a miracle right there. So let's talk about how this verse overlaps with my story. Let's talk about the staff. As we talk about the rod and the staff, we know because Psalm 23 starts out with, "The Lord is my shepherd." So we know automatically that we're talking about shepherd's tools. So when you think about a shepherd, you think of this hippie-looking dude with a hoodie or a robe and this crooked staff. And we're going to talk about the staff first. So the staff, through my reading, represents three things. It represents rest, rescue, and our guide. So let's talk about rest. We need a Lord that is at rest. And I'm going to be talking about three different terms: the Lord, Jesus, and God. And I'm going to use those interchangeably because I believe they're all the same thing, especially when it comes to this verse. So when a shepherd's out on this terrain with these sheep, there's all kinds of things he's walking on, like mud, rocks, and often there's not a place to sit down. So a shepherd will literally find a way to lean on this stick, this staff, to find rest. It's not total rest, but it's rest while he's working. Why do we need a Lord that is at rest? Because this verse shows us that God is our staff and our shepherd. He protects us, takes care of us, but he also gives us rest when we rely on him. So if we rest and lean on him, he will lean into us. I can guarantee you that there's no place in Scripture that talks about God worrying. He's not up there wringing his hands thinking, "Oh, what's Mitch going to say? What next? Jeremy might be worried. He's not worried." But we can be thankful that God is at rest. Have you ever been really sick or injured? You know that many times all you can do is just rest. There might be physical therapy or real rehabilitation, but resting is where the healing happens. I got a chance to do that a lot when I was recovering. The staff is also our rescue. So apparently sheep aren't that smart. And you remember the video that Jeremy showed a couple weeks ago about the sheep running into the ditch? They do that. They haphazardly run into thick brush, run off cliffs, run into ditches. And this crook on the end of this staff can be used to pull a sheep out of danger, up from a cliff, out of a bush. And these sheep are so dumb. Can you imagine not even realizing how much danger you're in? And all of a sudden this hook comes around your waist, yanking you around. I bet there's a lot of frustrated sheep. But it makes me wonder how many times I've been so close to danger or death or even worse. And the Lord has protected me and pulled me out of it. And all I can think was, "What are you doing, God? It's frustrating. I don't like this place I'm in right now." Little do I know, he might be saving me from the worst things possible. Let's talk about the staff as a guide. I've read that as a shepherd, a shepherd could take this staff and just gently touch a sheep on the shoulder, and he would get back in line. So it's relatively easy to keep sheep together. They like to be together. But sure enough, if you have 100 sheep and one goes away, he's going to run after that sheep and grab him, because the others will stay together. Now, this gentle tap to keep me in line is actually called discipline. And that's a scary word. We hate that word. But I'm going to read this because it's important. Through the lens of love, that's called discipline, not punishment, but training. Only when I understand the Lord is committed to protect me and I feel safe, that's when I can understand that discipline is never out of disappointment or anger, but from a love to help me grow into the person the Lord has intended me to be. He's our guide. Even today, he uses this to guide me. It helps shape my choices I make. It helps me make better choices for myself and my family. And as a believer, I truly believe that our decision-making abilities and any Christ-like behavior I might have is all dependent on God's staff. Without it, I would never know true rest or peace or know if I'm heading in the right direction. This makes me remember a time in my accident when I was healing. I was very frustrated. I was angry at God. And I'd ask him, why? Why me? I was a pretty good guy. Why would he do this to me? It's taken a long time, but for me to answer that question is a fool's errand, because I've got this finite knowledge and wisdom. And for me to try to understand what a God of the universe is thinking with infinite wisdom and knowledge, it's impossible. Which leads me to a question that I have to ask myself. And maybe you're asking yourself, do I really trust him? Do I trust God or not? I believe if you answer that question honestly, that will help shape your life, your peace, and your hope, and help ultimately your joy. Romans 5, 3 through 5 says this, and by the way, my doctor came into my room one day and shared this verse with me. He said, we can also glorify in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Do we trust God that much? All right, let's talk about the rod. That's a scary word. It might be the most misunderstood word in the Bible. Many people use it or abuse it as a means of abuse or over-discipline. But if it's a shepherd's tool, we're talking about that this morning. We could talk about that another day. But for a shepherd's tool, it's used for two things. Protection, and it represents his love for us. So many commentaries will tell you that the rod is actually sometimes like a sword. This metal rod with a pointy end. Or sometimes it's described as this oak, thick rod that could use like to whack a mole or whatever. But the shepherd would use this to protect his sheep from predators that might come at night or day. Wolves, bear, moles, whatever's gonna be a threat to these sheep. But the Lord is our rod and uses that against our enemies. And Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Just rest. Deuteronomy 3:22 says, "Do not be afraid. The Lord, your God himself, will fight for you." I felt the Lord fighting for me as I healed, as I recovered. I didn't have a lot of physical enemies. People kind of like me. I'm a likable guy, you know? So I didn't have a lot of people enemies. But I had other enemies that maybe even more sinister. Like I felt the Lord protecting me through a myriad of infections that tried to take over my body. I felt the Lord protecting my heart from bitterness. I felt the Lord protecting me from the voices that would come in my head and say things like, "Your friends are going to abandon you. Your voice sounds stupid. Or your scars are hideous." I think even now, he protects me from the voices I still hear. Like, "You're not enough." Or, "Your marriage isn't exactly what you'd hope for. So why even fight for a good marriage? It's never going to change." I suspect that many of you hear those voices too. But the Lord fights for me. And he's showing me what these voices really are. They are lies from our enemy. I believe we're in a spiritual war. And we have a spiritual enemy that plants these things. Lastly, the rod is a symbol of love. And this one came to a shock to me. But what a shock, it's just a minor surprise. How's about that? And apparently, if a shepherd wakes up with 100 sheep, he needs to go to bed that night with 100 sheep. So he would use this rod throughout the day to count many times. He'd point and count. You've been in a crowded room where to count, sometimes you have to close an eye and kind of aim. And again, if one sheep would run away, he would know it. He'd go run after it. And you know what's the cool thing about being counted like that? It means you count. You mean something. You're important to him. He loves you. There's a verse in Luke that says even the very hairs on her head are numbered. If he cares about my hair, he's got to care about me. So I was able to feel that love from God through my healing. This love is incomprehensible. It's undeserving. It's outrageous. It's comforting. And sometimes it's empowering. So as I close, the takeaways are his staff is our rest, our rescue, and our guide. And his rod is our protection and represents his love for us. So a little footnote here. I get asked this a lot, but I cannot begin to explain what I may or have may not experienced while I was dead. And it doesn't matter. And it may be just for me. But what I will say, and what does matter, and what is not just for me, is that there is a God of the universe that came down and is gently touching us on the shoulder saying, "Come, I got to show you something. I want to show you a life that's worth living. I want to give you hope. I want to give you peace. It doesn't matter where you are." "Come to me and I will give you rest." That's what he says. So let's pray. Thanks for listening. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you brought these people together. I thank you for my story. And as hard as it is to say, thank you for taking me through that stuff, that this might glorify you. I don't understand the things you do. I don't understand your ways, but I do trust you. I pray for my friends in this room who may not have all the answers, and all their questions may not be ever answered like mine. But Lord, I pray that you would tap them on the shoulder and they would feel that little bit of love that you have for them. In your name we pray. Amen.